And let me open up with a word of prayer. Even before we were saved, Jesus, our Savior, shepherded us. We were lost and far from God. Though we were ignorant of his love, he guided us and protected us throughout our lives to lead us into his salvation. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, he says, we were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit into the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Before we believed, the sanctifying Spirit used all kinds of persons, matters, and things to work on us, his chosen ones, so that we will repent and turn to God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this is exactly what the Lord has done for us and continue to do for us. So let us put our heart into the hands of God and open ourselves up for worship. Amen.
All right, at this time, I would like to remind you to please register in our maroon attendance pads. Please always pass to the right, and thank you very much for doing that. Also, during our very first hymnal, there are yellow slips in front of you. If you have a joy, a concern, just something you would like to share for us to lift up or to praise God, please fill that out. If you want to do it anonymously, that is just fine also. God knows our hearts and our prayers and petitions. On the back side of our bulletin, please be aware of the activities that will be happening for this upcoming week, okay? Also, does anybody else have anything that they would like to announce? Yes, sir. Okay. Can I ask one question about the Valentine's dinner? For those that families that have children, are they invited with their children to please come out to the Valentine dinner?
That would be a problem.
Okay, so no problem. Please remember. So those who would like to attend, it's absolutely wonderful. I'll give you a little PS. There's lots of running space for the little ones, so it is very enjoyable. At this time, we will go ahead and continue with our hymn. And also during our first hymn, for those who are unaware, please, the ushers will be walking around and you can hand your yellow slip to them for our shares and concerns. Thank you.
Please join me in hymn 732. Come be the love.
Let us continue with our call to worship. Praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
Sing praises to God.
Who gives justice to the oppressed.
Who gives food to the hungry.
Who sets the prisoners free.
Who watches over those we reject.
Who cares for widows and orphans.
The Lord will reign forever.
Praise the Lord.
And then let us turn to 881 in our United Methodist hymnal for our affirmation of faith, Apostles' Creed. And let's please read together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And for those able, let's please remain standing for God's word. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, but it's going to be chapter 34, okay? Verses 30 and 31, that is page 1342 in our church Bible, if you would like to read with me. Then they will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the Faith We Sing book, hymn number 2158. It's the black book. Oh.
Please be seated. Let's continue with our prayer of confession in unison. Lord, forgive us. We are blind to our own brokenness, yet focused on the failings of others. We are deaf to the cries of those who need us, numb to the need of those who hurt. We are silent when words are needed, impotent when action is required. We bully others as we seek control. Our pride walks before you, and we think it's okay. Lord, hear our anguish, pity our brokenness, speak life and forgiveness to our weary souls. Amen. And a moment of silent prayer. Declaration of Forgiveness. Beloved, hear the good news. Through Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us bow for our offertory prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, we are most thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd. Lord, as we start a new day, as we start a new month, let us start in our hearts a new feeling. Let us today start to give joyfully and generously to you, to be used in the spreading of your word, your mission, throughout ourselves and our community. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. The shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away. Then his glory I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Now it is time for communion. If you would all meet me on page 15. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heavens, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so in remembrance of this, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves today in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father God, now and forever. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy There's nothing that you have to change in you to come to the table to receive communion. Every change that you need will be done in you by God. Come to the Lord's table.
It is time now for joys and concerns. And Sonia would like for us to continue praying for Lynn Skinner, health issues. We also want to praise God for the healing that he is, not only healing, but peace that he's giving to Jane and to Dave. We know, Lord, that your presence is everything, and we know, Father, that you're there. Father, for this, your children that are in need in a way, Father, that we cannot fix, we cannot even attempt, Lord, we pray for your presence in their lives. We pray, my Heavenly Father, for the assurance, Lord, that you're with them, for the assurance that you are God and that your word will reign in their lives like your word reigns in heaven. And it is, Father, with complete confidence that we thank you, Father, for you hear the prayers of your children. Amen. Amen. God is so good. The reading from today is from Luke 15, 1 through 10, and it reads, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents that over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Bow your heads for a word of prayer. Living God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand it, that understanding your word we believe, and believing we might follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The shepherd is a prominent, meaningful metaphor in the Bible. It's all over. The different translations have one would have it appear 600 times, the other one 4, and the other one 7. So it just, the way it is, it's everywhere. In fact, God is referred to as the shepherd from the beginning of the Bible. Genesis 49:24 and Genesis 49:23 and 24. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. And in Isaiah 40:11, it says, God is described as a tender shepherd who cares for his people, the flock. And it reads, he tends his flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Both Matthew and Luke record Jesus' parable about the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep in the fold to go in search of one that has wandered away. Why is God's flock compared to sheep and not cattle or chickens or horses? Have you ever wondered that? I have. Once I started to look after what's up with the sheep, it became more clear to me. Sheep are in need of leadership. Without it, they wander off and are injured or killed. Isaiah 53:6 explains that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own ways. This was just as true in this time, which was 700 years before Christ, as it is true now. If left to wander, we will go astray and we will perish. The lost sheep represents a lost human being. Jesus, the good shepherd, does everything to find us. He said in Ezekiel 34, 15 and 16, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up their injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Doesn't it give you chills? Not only to know that God will render justice, but what really gets me is that he will go after us and give us every opportunity to be found. When he said this, he was directly speaking to the religious leaders in Jesus' day. They structured their system to exalt the self-righteous and exclude anyone who did not live up to their arbitrary standards. They had added so many rules and regulations to God's law that no one could keep them all, including the ones who drafted them. I think that if we watch the news today, it sounds familiar. We are all over the place. But why so much talk about sheep and shepherds? Because the people of Jesus' day understood the relationship between the shepherds and their sheep. But the significance of a shepherd going in search of one lost sheep is something that is lost on us today. Maybe because we don't see anybody doing that unless you live in certain parts of the country. And even when you see them, you look at it like, oh, look, how cute. It seems strange that a shepherd would leave his flock to search for one missing sheep. We humans like to cut our losses sooner than later. If we were tending the sheep, would we go after the one that is lost? Would we call our neighbor and say, hey, stand right here, take care of this 99 while I go and look for the other one? Well, how long is it going to take you? You know, I plan for lunch. You know, that's if the neighbor even comes to the door and he doesn't say, oh no, he's going after the sheep again. I don't want to be, you know. We tend to cut our losses. All of us do. And I'm not judging you for it. I'm not judging you for it because I do the same thing. When I look at a difficult situation, I too look at it and said, what will the outcome be? So we all do it. My life in Christ has not been without some God-ordained irony, I gotta tell you. I was transplanted to the U.S. from Cuba. My parents were Catholic. I did not know my father was Catholic until he started walking me and my mother to our church on Sunday. I did not realize my family was being watched, and this is why he was doing it. At the time, I had no idea. He had signed total custody of me to my mother so I could leave the country. I was 11 years old the last time I saw him. I wish he would have not caught his losses. I wish we could all have stayed. I grew up surrounded by religion. I tell you, in Cuba, I went to Catholic school. In Miami, I was in a Catholic refugee camp. I was surrounded by religion. Religion was confession, penitence, the rosary, good works, sin. Confession, penitence, rosary, good works, and sin. We just went around and around and around. I never had a Bible growing up. There was none in the church that I grew up in, and we were not given one at the refugee camp either. I think the Gideons did not know we were there either, you know. And that's why nobody made it over there. The camp was in a very little town next to the Everglades. And I tell you that if you didn't have to go, you did not go. So maybe that's why we never got a Bible down there. I myself was not one of the 99. And remembering those times, I can tell you that I was definitely the lost sheep that needed finding. I am so glad, so grateful, so humble to think that God will come after me, that I have made the days that I have left my mission and my joy to serving ministry. Now, once found and rescued, don't think that all you do is eat and drink and walk around like the sheep do, and that you have learned your lesson. Oh, no. No, you're bound to make the same mistake at least another time. The Good Shepherd will allow circumstances into your lives that are designed to make us look up. It is often in the bleakness of circumstances that we finally surrender our demands to have our own way. After we run out of water, after we're hurt, after we're limping, after we're missing an ear, missing some teeth, after we've been dragged by the wolf or whoever goes after sheep, then we say, okay, maybe I should consider this other side. So what's the takeaway from this sermon today? It's not just that we are the Lord's sheep. The takeaway from this sermon today, Jesus' main point in this parable is the value of the individual. He left the 99 because that one straight, stubborn, beat up, stubborn, did I say stubborn? Sheep went wandering off again. Every single one of us is valuable in his eyes. We are valuable in the eyes of God. And every one of us and those that surround us are worth going after. In closing, sometimes we're with the 99, other times we can be with the one lost sheep. Why? Well, we walk away. We wander off. We don't heed to the words of warning that God is constantly, constantly sending our way. Last week, the word of God came in the way of instruction. Don't neglect hospitality. Wisdom is a gift of God. It's not self-taught. Remember, the church is a place that provides relief and recovery. You're trampling over others or throwing them out with the trash will cause irreparable damage. Irreparable harm to the one thing you say you love the most, your church. What is at the root of you and I acting this way? Here is where the last thing that I said on last sermon was, be self-aware. What is the real reason for our actions? We can lie to people. We can lie to ourselves, but we can't lie to God. And as long as I tell you I love you, I this and that, and you know, might even hold your hand, God knows that you're in my hand, but you're not in my heart. And that is of no value to your heavenly account. And may I say that coming to church on Sunday and not being present is no value to your heavenly card either. If you're here, you have to be present here. Today it tells you, this sermon tells you that we all have worth. Don't be the sheep that walks away. Don't be the sheep that stops coming because you don't like what I said, you don't like how I sound, you don't like how I look. She look at her wrong. I'm not even going to talk about you, Mary. Okay. Jeannie, you're all over the place, and you just make me feel uncomfortable. So I'm going to stop coming. Those are excuses. You might be lying to others when they say, hey, why are you not coming to church? And then you can come up with something, you know, make it good, make it good. But God knows why you're not coming to church. Why? What's in the root of that? Don't be the sheep that walk away. Don't be the sheep that throws other sheep away either. There is worth in every single one of us. As worthy and as valuable as each one of you sitting here are today, so are the girls that are working at Dave, serving the table. So are the guys that are making the beer at the brewery. The guys that are working on Matt Jack's. The lady that comes during the summer and might clean your yard. The single mothers that all that we see is that she's pregnant again. Each one of us has a worth. We might not see it in each other, but God sees it. And the fact that we know that for sure should let us come back and look at them again and give people a second chance. There is worth in every single human being. After all, we are all sheep of one pasture, of one shepherd. Whether we respect, that's the, because I know you guys don't know, the black things, you know, the sheep that has black marks. I didn't know that specs, that's what it meant. So I thought it was the liquor store. Whether they're specked or white or black or brown or gray because they haven't taken a bath. Each one of them belongs to the same fold, and that is the fold of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the shepherd of us all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, hear the prayer of your people. Your word tells us to tear our hearts and not our garments. Just like you call Israel in Hosea 14 and 1, you're calling us today to return to you, our Lord and our God. Just like you warned them when you told them that their sins have been their downfall, we hear you calling us today, but we're lacking the courage, maybe the energy. At times, we're even lacking the faith. Burn your Holy Spirit flame deep within our hearts, for you are a gracious God and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love, grace, and forgiveness. And open our hearts to believe that if we do your will, you will relent from sending misfortune. This is your word, your promise, and I claim it today over this church and over this your people. And I do that in the name of Jesus Christ, our shepherd and our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
And now receive this blessing from the Lord. Heavenly Father, like sheep to the slaughter, the world is leading us in that direction. But I pray, Lord, that you meet us at the door and that you bring us back and that you keep us safe and that you keep us together and that you instill in us the value, Lord, that you have put on ourselves, valued enough to die for us. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Amen.